Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of March 7th, 2011. I need to turn my calendar for a second. I don't know, Zach, and joining me this week is Joe.
Who told you he did my cookies?
And Chris.
Hey, howdy. So thrown off by that. Sorry.
We're derailed already.
Yeah.
So, and I think we have a fun show. We got a bunch of trailers to talk about, some crazy news. It's going to be a little bit shorter because Chris has to do a bunch of work, and it's a different night than we're used to recording on. So a little bit shorter episode, but still going to be good. So I want to kick it off with show and tell for the past week. Joe, what have you been watching?
Man, I really don't know. This week has been such a blur.
Well, you watched Justice League, right?
That's what I wasted my life away with. Yeah, honestly, that was such like a natural sort of show for me that it didn't seem like I just sat there and watched the whole season, which I guess is a good thing, you know, because I wasn't like, God damn, did I really just watch a whole season of that? I was like, well, that was great. So yeah, I watched season one of Justified, which I just bought, by the way. I'm sure I've mentioned that I was doing that before.
Yeah, because you had like crazy Amazon credit for something.
Yeah, I had Amazon credit, and I wound up getting it for, like, $3 because I wanted it next-day shipping, so they made me pay for the shipping, but whatever. So, $3 for that fucking first season on Blu-ray.
Actually, no, insider tip, Joe. Do you have an EDU email address or not?
They are.
Wait, you guys are cutting out.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, if you have that EDU email address, you can get Amazon Prime for free.
Man, I wish I knew that when I was using their shit all the time. Fucking Amazon. Whatever. It's all good.
Yeah.
Justified. And, you know, some episodes were not great and seemed kind of gimmicky. That being said, I love Raylan Givens. I think he's one of the best characters to come on TV.
You're an Olive fan.
Yeah, it's a good time. If you haven't seen the show, I highly, highly suggest that you get your shit together like I did and check it out.
And Walton Goggins, it's amazing.
Yes, definitely. I also started watching Mad Men Season 3 because I'm behind on the show, clearly. I'm like 3 episodes in, and, you know, if you like Mad Men Season 1 and 2, you're probably going to like this. And Saturday night, I actually watched Strike Force had an event on Showtime. That, other than an awesome women's title fight, which I don't remember either of their names, but that one broad beat the other one pretty good. And the main event...
Wasn't Gina Carano, was it?
No, she put a fork in old Gina. Like, she's supposedly training for a comeback fight, but I don't...
She's, like, in a movie now and stuff.
She had it made because she was, like, she is a big girl, rather. I mean, she's a dude friend. You know, she was one of the, like, 4 female MMA fighters at the time when she was on top. But when other female fighters started coming out of the woodwork, like, it started looking not so good for her. But anyway, the main event was Dan Henderson, who we all know and love, against Feijão for the light heavyweight title. And it was a strange fight because no one really had the upper hand for most of the fight. And then you know, people say that Henderson, like, knocked out Fajal with his signature H-bomb right haymaker, but if you watch really closely, like, he didn't really hit him that hard, if at all. And when he fell down, like, his face hitting the canvas is what knocked him out. Bizarre. But whatever, I was rooting for Hendo anyway, even though I like Fajal. And supposedly this sets up a super fight, probably at a catchweight, or maybe just at heavyweight, between and Dan Henderson. Not excited about watching MMA. So we can all look forward to that, just don't know when it's going to happen. That's basically it for me.
All right. Chris, what about you?
I had a lot of time this week to watch is the most random, like, 80s, 90s movies.
Sounds kind of like what I did. Doing work.
Like, I kind of just threw on Netflix on a TV and just opened up my, like, workstation and started, like, coding. So I had to look at movies that, like, that really had no plot, just, like... So I made, like, a list. Elvira, The Mistress of the Dark.
Okay.
Grown-ups.
Oh, my God.
Where the Buffalo Roam.
What?
Who?
Police Academy 3.
Okay. That is random.
Okay. I know, it's the most random, like, 80s and, like, one modern movie. Okay. Elvira and Mistress of the Dark is a movie that, like, I watched as a kid, like, when it used to be popular, and it'd be on, like, HBO or something. And, like, if those who are familiar with Elvira, she used to host, like, all these horror movies and comment and make all these, like, pre-Mystery Science Theater 3000, like, scenarios to, like, introduce a movie and stuff. But her only gimmick was that she was kind of, like, she was hot, and she had, like, really massive tits. Like,
amen, brother.
I'm not sure those are natural or not, but, like, no, like, there's just, her frame makes no sense to her bust size. But either way, like, I salute them, like, holy shit. So the movie is based on that kind of concept, that she is this, like, ditzy, like, Californian-ish goth girl, extreme goth girl, but... She pulls it off with such, like, funny class. And, like, I don't know. That's another thing. I'm, like, hypnotized by, like, the fact that the selling point of the movie is just boobs. So there's no, like, real cohesive plot. So, like, okay, the movie takes place in Massachusetts. And so she comes to her, like, her supposedly, like, dead aunt's house to retrieve, like, collect her inheritance. And, like, the whole community hates her. It makes no sense, though. Like, it does in that kind of, like Footloose kind of way, where, like, she's making the young people all happy. Like, blah, blah, blah. We're all, like, angry old people who are, like, stubborn and stuff. And, like, this big-titted, like, woman shows up and changes, like, our views. And, like, there's all those, like, really zany skits where, like, all these, like, pervert teenagers try to, like, take a photo of her naked or, like, catch her, like, bending over or like, wearing... really slutty clothes. So it's a very classic 80s, like, romp. And there's actually, like, one or two, like, funny scenes that involve, like, her tits. Like some guy, like, grabs her boob, and so she pulls out, like, a switchblade out of her, like, belt. And, like, there's some, like, witty banter about her, like, nipple size or something. It's the fact that, like, the whole plot revolved around boobs. I was just like, huh. So, like, I didn't do any work. I just kind of, like, end up just watching the movie. It's a really, like, weird comedy because it's rated PG-13, but it shouldn't be. It should be rated, like, R. Like, I don't know how this is, like, determined to be, like... Oh, I mean, yeah, it's made in, like, the early 90s, late 80s. So this is that kind of, like, before there was really heavy, like, standards of what should be a kid's movie and what isn't.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, this hidden, like, teen message in it. It's like, oh, just be who you are. Don't care what other people think of you. But if you're, like, a big-titted, like, woman, like Elvira, like, that, okay, you gotta put some clothes on. You gotta have some sort of, like, let's ease up a bit kind of attitude. So that was just, like, okay, like, that was interesting. Like, I haven't seen that whole movie since I was, like, maybe 10, but that shaped my life a little bit. Then to, like, wash that out and throw something else I can concentrate, I threw on Grown Ups, which stars, like, everyone Everyone Adam Sandler's in the 90s.
Adam Sandler and his friends.
Adam Sandler's phone book.
Yep.
Honestly, like, this movie wasn't so bad, because I thought this movie was about, like, all these guys together, but I was wrong. It's all about Adam Sandler hanging out with these guys. Like, I thought it was, like everyone's got equal... Yeah, I thought everyone's got, like, similar equal, like, film time. I was wrong.
Nope.
There's not much to say about this movie that people haven't really found out by now. It's about these, like, older gentlemen who are pretty much going through, like, a midlife crisis of, like, trying to retain their youth from, like, grade school.
Well, aren't they, like, isn't there, like, some basketball game or something happening?
And the,
yeah, that event, yeah, that happens. Like, we won't talk about how awful that is.
Yeah, like...
It's like the barest plot thread is just, like, we have to get back together for our basketball game.
The basketball game just sort of, like, happens. Like, their basketball coach dies in the funeral, like...
Yeah, well, that's what, yeah... The coach dies,
yeah, it makes them want to come and hang out together.
But the thing is, this movie makes it seem like these people haven't seen each other in 30 years. In reality, they haven't seen each other in 7, because the last time they met was at, like, another friend's, like, wedding.
Yeah.
So, and it was Adam Sandler's wedding, so it wasn't like, oh, I haven't seen you. It's just like, oh, I haven't seen you, and we've been busy, because we live, like, in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So it makes, I don't get, like, the concept a little bit, where it's like, wait. They can still call. They can still email. These people make it seem like, oh, I don't talk to you ever. Like,
they're just, like, dickish friends.
Yeah, they are. They all are kind of dickish friends in different ways, but it works. Like, I enjoyed it. I didn't, like, want to see this again. I'm happy I, like, watched it through Netflix. Like, if I watch this in theaters, I just want to get up and, like, okay, where is Adam Sandler? I'm going to, like, hit him in the dick.
Dick punch.
Though there was one, there's always these funny parts of, like, Rob Schneider's character, and he keeps having hot daughters.
Yeah, that was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, those are always, like, really funny, like, what? Especially his third daughter, who happens to just look like a female Rob Schneider.
Yeah, that was tragic, but the first two were choice.
Oh, yeah. And where the Buffalo Roam, for those who don't know, is the precursor to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Okay.
It's the movie that Hunter S. Thompson, like, first sold the rights to about his like, autobiography. Or just his, like, weird gonzo stories. And it has, like, the characters from Fear and Loathing. But this is, like, if you watch this movie, then you'll get more of appreciation for Fear and Loathing. They almost have the same plot. Like, it's still about him trying weird stories and drink and do drugs and just, like, try to get away with so much shit. It stars Bill Murray and Peter Boyle.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, Bill Murray is Hunter S. Thompson in this one.
Like, wow.
It's weird because everyone associates Johnny Depp with Hunter S. Thompson.
Absolutely.
But Bill Murray does a pretty good job. Like, if you've seen, like, video interviews of Hunter S. Thompson, it's like, he's not that bad. It's just Johnny Depp does a better job of it. Bill Murray still has, you know, he does that Hunter S. Thompson accent, the zany antics. He one-liners like, ah, backcountry. Like, just really out there dialogue. And it's not a cohesive story, which I like, because it wasn't like I had to pay attention to this movie while I was doing work, because I just would look up and watch a scene of him ranting about something about, like, Nixon and about, like, communism, and then, like, he was, like, throw things out a window. I'm like, alright, well, didn't really understand what's going on, but whatever.
Nice.
But, yeah, like, I always think this movie, because I never seen Where the Buffalo Roam until, like, that time. Until, like, now, which I feel, like, bad, because I always associate, you know, Fear and Loathing to be like, if you had to describe Hunter S. Thompson. What else? And to top it off, to, like, wash out the whole thing completely, was Police Academy 3, which is, like, one of the first Police Academy movies, like, I've ever seen. And I was really lost, because it was, like, you know, number 3. I was like, okay, like, well, I'm to 1 and 2.
You didn't have, like, the deep story of the Police Academy series. You weren't aware of the canon.
They all have very unique backstories.
Yeah.
That really make up the essence of the universe created.
Well, as a kid, like, I watched from 3 to beyond that, but I didn't know there was, like, 1 and 2. I was like, what?
Chris actually couldn't count until he was six. So
this movie came out before I was born. There's understand? No it's like 90. What was it 86? The fact that I'm watching this when I was like three, like come on. Mm-hmm. But then I came to realize, like, I actually went back and kind of quickly watched through one because I watched one a lot after I realized there was one.
One's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, one's a fantastic movie if you just never thought, like, they should never make five or six more sequels.
If you watch it once every, like, 10 years, like, it's a pretty funny movie.
It's just that I always watched it, like, censored on TV, so I never got the jokes. So when I watched like, without, like, censors, it's like, huh. And it's weird, because it went from, like, PG-13 rating? What's the first one rated?
R.
Okay, first one is rated R, because it has to be. There's, like, a lot of gratuitous nudity, and there's, like, there's that famous blowjob scene.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I just never got as a kid, because they censored the shit out of it. So I'd be like, what? Something didn't seem right about this. So then, like, I watched, like, you know, the real version. I was like, holy shit. Police Academy is such an awesome 80s movie. I don't know why they keep making sequels, and they keep lowering, like, the age. It went from R to, like, PG-13 to PG to, like, G.
They had, like, a fucking cartoon.
That's fine, but, like, it's like, how can you base it on this, like, the original R movie? It's like making a cartoon series based on Taken, and then making that, like at fucking, like, what's the rating age for Y? It's a TV Y.
TVY7.
Yeah. Well, it's like, they make cartoons like all those 80s, like, the most hard R movie you can imagine is, like, let's make a cartoon, like RoboCop.
Reservoir Dogs.
Rambo.
On Disney XD.
Rambo and the Forces of Freedom.
Chuck Norris's Karate Commandos.
Yes.
Which is basically the fucking Delta Force series.
With a super ninja.
Oh, God, that super ninja was so badass.
With his luxurious hair.
It was luxurious. That's the perfect adjective for it.
Flowing bullet.
Now, here's one thing that I really appreciate the Police Academy series is some people, like, you gotta be fans to like, oh, yeah, like, I didn't know that. It's one of those things, like a nod to them, is that there are recurring themes in almost the first three movies. Like, the villain of the first movie is the villain of the third movie. I didn't know that. Like, it's the older version, and it's the same actor.
Wasn't it like their first assignment or something, like the prequel?
No. The first assignment is when they Zed the.
Oh, is that two when they graduate or something?
Yeah,
okay.
Two when they're actually cops. Okay. Police Academy 2, it doesn't actually take place in an academy because they left the academy. They're each working precincts, and so. Three is when they actually go from the precincts to help the academy again. Like, they're, like, old students that come to, like, train new students.
Is it called Back to School? What's it?
Back to Basics.
Back to Basics, okay. Something like that.
No, back in training. My bad. Back in training. But, like, I didn't know that. Like, I totally forgot, like, how, like, the whole overarching story is. And you can think about that. I enjoy that. I just really wish it didn't die with, like, number five, where they went to Miami, or number... No, shit, it goes longer than that.
Yeah, there's like seven
there's
movies,
like,
dude.
There's Mission to Moscow or something. And...
Yeah, like they go to Moscow. There's one in Miami, and then they go to Moscow. Yeah. So it's like seven movies. Holy shit.
No, there's Police Academy in Space, too.
No? Yes? I
that's joking. The thing. There are so many that you're like, oh, fuck. Do they go to space? That actually happened?
I'm sure Gutenberg was around for that one.
Moon Police.
No, Mark Gutenberg dropped out of four when, like, he rode an air balloon.
Nice.
Because he was in Citizens on Patrol.
Yes.
Dude, this is on patrol. So, yeah, that was a random assortment of movies, Chris.
Well, it's just like flashback. It's like these are movies I've seen or haven't seen at all, but I thought, like, okay, I'll just throw it on and do work. And, like, you could tell the movies I did work and I didn't do work. Elvira was, like, the first movie, which was like, fuck, boobs the movie.
Yeah, you watched that shit from beginning to end.
It sucks, because, like, I remember they had this show, like, looking for the new Elvira, and they did, but Elvira was like, hell no, like, I'm going to do this until I die. I'm just like, you know what, fuck yeah, like, she's still pretty hot, even though she's, like, 50-something. Like,
dude, you can't tell. She's got so much makeup on all the time anyway, that as long as
her,
like...
She still has her figure.
Right.
God bless her.
Oh, seriously, she's a fucking icon, dude. Remember when she hosted Monsters HD back in the fucking glory days when I had that channel and it didn't only exist in Europe? That was the shit, because in between, like, fucking kick-ass horror movies, it would just be, like, a five-minute clip of, like, Elvira, like, talking about, like,
things.
80s kids. No, like, really. Five-minute... These horror boobs. Fantastic. How I miss
how about,
it.
How about
oh,
you,
well.
Zach?
Well, I saw a couple things last week. I saw Red finally, so I think... Have we all seen Red now, or...?
For better or for worse, I think we've all seen Red.
Have you seen it, Chris?
I've read about it.
Read about it, okay.
Aw, Chris.
Like, I read the stuff of the comics, and then I kind of read the synopsis online. I was like, okay, I got enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not great or anything.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, but... I'm not going to buy it.
Actually, had it felt really like similar to The Losers.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I still haven't seen The Losers.
And they're both like...
Losers
DC,
is pretty good, man.
Well, I guess Losers is Vertigo, I guess, but they're both like DC comics properties.
That's how DC started to compete with Marvel. They're like, fuck, let's just buy everything. Let's just buy everything that isn't Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will like us.
Yeah, there's some good action in it, like, but like you've seen like a bunch of the action in the trailer already, so it's kind of like it's probably like Bruce like jumps like rocks out of a police car while it's spinning, like shoot.
Yeah,
as he like casually gets out of it.
Or like the fight scene between him and Bruce Willis and Carl Urban is pretty good, even though there's like no reason for it at all.
Right,
just like we gotta escape from the CIA. CIA headquarters. Oh, wait, I'm just going to go fight this guy now.
But first, we make kumite.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, John Malkovich is great, and Helen Mirren's great.
Yeah. But that's definitely one of those movies where if you've seen the trailer, like, that...
You've seen probably some of the best parts of the movie.
You've seen, like, yeah, basically.
But yeah, it's worth a rant or so. If you're a fan of Bruce or action or like teams of CIA operatives
or the elderly,
yeah. Or the elderly, yes, the elderly kicking ass,
yeah.
And then I saw a couple of mid-90s movies on Netflix this past week. I think one just got added recently, and I think one's been on there for a while. But first up, Last Action Hero. I watched.
Oh man,
nice.
The Arnold classic, in quotes. Like, it wasn't as bad as I remember it, but, like, it's definitely, like, the C-level Arnold movie.
Yes.
Like, there's good bits sprinkled throughout, like, the kid trying to convince him that he's in a movie, and it's like, you know, like, the Terminator 2 starring Sylvester Stallone.
That was one of my favorite parts of that movie.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like a cartoon cat walking around. Like,
is his name like Whiskers?
I think, yeah, it's like Sergeant Whiskers or something.
That movie is like the early 90s.
Yeah.
No, let me rephrase that. Surf Ninjas is the early 90s.
Well, this movie, like...
This is a close second.
Because there's like that... There's like the scene at the premiere of Jack Slater 4, which is like... The 90s is like... The entire 90s is present for like this like movie premiere.
In full effect.
Fucking, like, MC Hammer's there, and, like, Jim Belushi, and, like, it's
just... Is it Sean Van Damme
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Van Damme's like, I never miss... I'll always be here to represent. I don't go to Scar movies, but I go to see Arnold movies.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And, like, Arnold meeting Arnold. Or, like, I love, like, Maria Shriver's like, don't talk about Planet Hollywood or your gyms, just talk about the movie. And so then they're like the reporters asking questions like, well, you know what, if Planet Hollywood, we have a lot of different menu items that are good. We have new stuff coming up every day. There's memorabilia on the wall. And there's like the angry black police chief, like the most like the ultimate angry black police chief, which is like he starts yelling and like it's like you like he just starts like saying words that like make no sense. Damn it, Slater! And it's like smoke starts pouring out of his ears.
What an awesome cliche. Mm-hmm.
And there's like, they have like the like one of the best creepy character actors, Tom Noonan, is like the Ripper, who has like, his like crazy act, and like versus like the Gordon Fisherman. And then there's like the other bad guy, Benedict, who has like the glasses. He has like a collection of glass eyes that he wears. But yeah, I think like I was reading it was in the AV Club, like My Year of Flops. You can like read like the whole backstory of this, but apparently spent like $120 million on this movie.
God
and,
damn!
Like they put like a fucking like a billboard on the side of the space shuttle for this movie.
Jesus Christ, really? Yep.
And then it was just like, this is gonna be the ultimate Arnold movie. This is the Arnold movie to end all Arnold movies. Just two.
That's kind of sad when you stop and think that he was gonna ride out into the sunset on that movie.
Yeah. Was that pre Eraser or like post Eraser?
Oh, that was pre-Eraser. Yeah.
I think he needed Eraser to apologize for Last Action Hero.
Yeah, basically. Well, that's why it was called Eraser.
And, like, Collateral Damage at the end of days.
I think True Lies actually came out after Last Action Hero, didn't it?
I think it might have been.
I think True Lies is a much better ride.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But then he did Eraser, and then Jingle All the Way.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then we had such classics as The Sixth Day and The End of Days.
Yep.
And then last but certainly not least.
Lateral Damage.
Lateral Damage.
The worst Arnold movie ever made.
God damn it. I tried to watch that movie like over the summer. I was like, yeah, it probably wasn't as bad as I remember it. It's bad.
Just like,
wasn't
it like bombs and like remote control dinosaurs or something?
Yeah.
Like, terrorists were using remote-controlled dinosaurs to, like, blow up. And, like, was it Arnold, like, a firefighter or something?
Yes, and it's just the worst
movie. A firefighter who has to, like, go fight drug dealers in Colombia or something.
Yeah.
Cuba.
Was it Cuba?
It's somewhere where they have drugs. I don't know.
Some generic, like, a bunch of Spanish Cubans, column. Like, were, like, protesting against Collateral Damage. Because, like, he goes to Cuba and, like, starts a revolution again.
Basically, and he gets arrested, like, twice and breaks out of jail.
No chance that can hold me! Bam! Breaks.
Pretty terrible. Enough about that.
Yeah. I just remember, like, another, like, pretty clever thing about Last Action Hero. Like, they have F. Murray Abraham in this movie. Well, they actually have, like, crazy, just, like, sporty guys in this movie. But, like, F. Murray Abraham is, like Jack Slater's, like, FBI friend, and like the kid's like, hey, don't trust him. Don't trust him, Jack. He killed Mozart.
Witty.
So I watched that, and I also watched another mid-90s action classic, Passenger 57.
Yes, always bet on black.
Always.
Yeah, me and Joe were talking about it earlier before we started. I think people are legally obligated to say always bet on black if you mention Passenger 57.
Yeah, it's
the one
like
thing anyone remembers about that movie.
Yeah, because it's like they just built it up in that one scene where it's just like epic music and the zoom in from like 10 feet away. It's like
was he like just an air marshal or something? He was just like a detective.
He was an airline security specialist.
Huh.
But then he was like,
if only we had listened to Wesley.
I know. If only he'd been teaching classes still, we would have things could have been avoided.
I know.
But yeah, I think he was like flying to LA to like become like the VP for this like airline. Then like the evil terrorists take it over. Charles Rain.
One of the most casual terrorists of all time.
Yeah. Like they call him like, his nickname is like Reign of Terror or something.
Yeah, that was not very well thought out. And it's kind of weird because that was one of two big, like, airplane movies for Wesley Snipes within, like, a few years of each other. That and, like, Drop Zone,
right? Oh, my
right?
God, Drop Zone, yeah, that was...
Drop Zone.
Fucking Gary Busey as a
parachuting thief.
Yeah. Crazy Busey.
Yeah.
Fucking.
It was like someone saw like the parachute, like the skydiving scene from Point Break, and they're like, let's make a whole movie about this.
Yeah, that's down to sequences of all time. Is it a girl is parachute and they land, just punches her in the. That was excellent. Like, well, what the fuck? And like me and all my friends, like, that really just happened. That was awesome.
I didn't hear a word of that, Joe, but...
No, it was phasing really? In and out for me, so I heard every second word.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I was saying that when he parachutes with that girl for the first time and then, like, gets up after it and, like, just knocks her out.
Oh, yeah.
Classic
yep.
film cinema. Yep. It was a classic moment in movie history. Like, if someone asks me to sum that movie up in a scene, I would just show them that and then immediately have it cut to Busey, like, skydiving and laughing insanely.
Yep. Yeah, that movie was basically Point Break for skydiving.
Yes.
But, and Passenger 57, like ridiculously young, like, people, there's, like, Bruce Greenwood is in this movie, like, ridiculously young with, like, slick back hair. Tom Sizemore. I think it was, like, Elizabeth Hurley's, like, first role, or, like, one of her first roles.
It was before her surgery, so she looks really different.
Yep. Yeah, it's a pretty good entry in the terrorist take over a plane genre. It's worth it just to see, like, the line. Because that scene is just ridiculous. Yeah. But you can probably just go on YouTube and watch it.
Yes, you absolutely can.
And also, for a movie called Passenger 57, it doesn't take... There's like a third of it, like two-thirds of it doesn't take place on an airplane. Like, they land a plane like this, like, hick Louisiana town. Like, they spend like 10 minutes, like, hunting each other in, like, the county fair or something. And you have to, like, deal with, like, the redneck sheriff, like, thinks, like, Wesley Snipes is a terrorist.
What a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so that's what I've been watching over the last week. So why don't we get into news? And kicking off news, there's a whole bunch of trailers came out at the end of last week. First one I'm going to talk about is the trailer for Super, which is the new Rainn Wilson like superhero movie directed by the guy who directed Slither.
Oh, boy.
And it pretty much looks like what would happen if, like, Michelle Gondry directed Kick-Ass.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like Juno fucked Kick-Ass and had Super.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you guys get a chance to check out the trailer?
Sure did.
What'd you think, Joe?
Shut up, crime. Shut up, evil, whatever he says.
Yeah.
Fucking. I like that he has a wrench as his, like... as his main weapon. That's kind of cool. And I'll wind up seeing this, but I'm not, like, standing in line for it already, you know?
Mm-hmm. No more child molesting! Did you get a chance to see it, Chris?
Not yet, but I still can't picture Rainn Wilson outside of his Dwight character.
Yeah, neither can I, but it looks good mm-hmm. enough.
Like, did you see The Rocker?
No, I didn't.
Sure did. That was an experience.
And she's like, "What's wrong with Dwight?"
And like, Kevin Bacon's also in this movie. Liv Tyler, Ellen Page.
Ellen Page is
yeah. She's like his like craziest like sidekick. Because Rainn Wilson is like the Crimson Bolt, and she's Bolty.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's best. Like, and then we're like. We're, like, in the middle of, like, the Kevin Bacon resurgence. Because he did, like, that DirecTV commercial, now he's, like, in X-Men First Class and this one and whatever else is going to happen.
He's going to be a Footloose too.
Footlooser.
Footlooser.
No, like, he's going to be, like, in the remake. He's going to be, like, the John Lithgow character. Which would that'd be crazy.
No dancing.
So, another trailer was actually for a upcoming TV show. It's the trailer for Tron Uprising, which is going to be on Disney XD next year. And you guys, either of you guys check this out?
Yeah, nope. I did for this one.
Okay. What do you think, Chris?
The animation doesn't look so bad for it being, like, trying to look like anime and still keeping to, like, American...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're doing Tron 1 and Tron Legacy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So,
and I'm like, I'm trying to think, where, how does this fit in? Because I thought, like, the only reason Tron, like, the Jeff Bridges' character got stuck in Tron Legacy was because, you know, Tron was converted to be an evil character. So what the fuck did this happen of, like trying to find
like,
another
Tron? Yeah, like, Tron like, was, like, training, like, an apprentice or something.
Yeah. So we kind of know it fails, like, you know, it's not going to work. Whatever this guy does doesn't make any difference until, like, you know, Sam Flynn comes up and just, like, you know, just does something. But, like, I'd rather see, like, a sequel that takes place in the Tron universe that's after the movie, because that makes more sense.
Well, I don't know, because, like, what would you do if the... Because Clue's dead, so, like, what would you do? Would you just make, like,
I don't know, some other program
bad guy or something? Yeah.
Just have it be, like, reboot. It's not that hard.
Oh, they could have, like, the crazy, like, bar guy be the new bad guy. Like,
he
Zeus,
blew
Zeus
up.
Or whatever.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Computer Bowie.
Oh, yeah, Computer Bowie. I forgot, he got, like, derezzed, didn't he?
He sure did.
I forgot a lot of Tron Legacy. All I hear is, like, all I remember about Tron Legacy is Daft Punk.
Of course.
I just saw one giant Daft Punk music video. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, Disney XD, like, they killed it with the Avengers this past, like, last year and this year, so. I think they'll probably do a good job with Tron, so I'm excited. I'll check it out when it comes out. And then, last trailer we're going to talk about is the Kung Fu Panda 2 trailer, which actually came out. I think it was probably attached to Rango or something this weekend.
No interest.
No interest? Even though it looks, like,
none.
Crazily epic?
No, none.
Van Damme's in it, man.
Who's Van Damme in it? Is he, like, the bad guy, or...?
He's Master Croc. I'm not really sure who that
Master
is.
Croc.
I just read it on IMDb.
Does he wear Crocs?
No, I think
he is a Croc. Yeah. Makes a little more sense, I think.
I was like, they made this movie, like, look ridiculously epic. It was, like that one scene where, like, the tower's collapsing and shit.
That's how they get you. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Things that are not Pixar movies I'm always really weird about to watch. I'll maybe watch it when, like, it's on TV or it's on Netflix, but I don't seek them out, personally.
I'm just hoping, like, DreamWorks is, like, actually, like, moving toward Pixar level, because, like, they had How to Train Dragon last year, which was amazing, and then they had... I heard okay things about Megabyne, so I think... I don't know if they're trying to move in that direction or not.
I think Pixar is good at hiring really big Hollywood talent voice actors,
mm-hmm.
but it's, like, the overall payoff isn't, like, anything that's memorable as, like, Pixar. Because if anything, like, the morals of all their movies, they're just, like, don't be stupid. But Pixar, they teach you, like, very big morals, you know? It's about, like, greed. It's, like, almost like, you know, humanity. What a fucking Kung Fu Panda teach me? It's just, like, you know,
be yourself.
It actually pays off to be fat and bumbly.
Believe in yourself.
Bitch, Toy Story 1 taught me that, like, 10 years ago.
I think, like, Kung Fu Panda was, like, the first, like, DreamWorks started getting away from, like, just horrible pop culture references in, like, the DreamWorks face.
Okay.
The DreamWorks smirk.
I mean, do you remember what the message of B-movie was? It was just, like...
Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld just retire.
No more acting Jerry Seinfeld.
Yep, so, that's out in a couple months, so. See how that does against Cars 2. both studios aren't really bringing their A-game this year.
I'm not a big fan of Cars 2. I enjoy Cars 1, but that I kind of like that's it.
I'll probably see Cars 2 just because Michael Caine is in it. So, moving on to a... next bit of news, we actually got our first look at first official look at Red Skull from the upcoming Captain America movie. Did you guys look at this picture? I'm sure you did, but
yeah, it looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
Nothing like some old school
real makeup, real special effects, looks fucking killer. Mm-hmm.
Like the Hydra uniform looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Agent Smith, so like, how could that not be awesome?
Yeah.
Like, I think Captain America's probably definitely the superhero movie I'm looking forward to most this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you take a look at it, Chris?
The what?
The Red Skull picture?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's a really good job. I mean, compared to, the original Red Skull that they had in the live-action movie.
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, Red Skull had hair and shit, and it was terrible.
Halloween Mask would be better than that movie.
Yeah, he was a master of disguise, too.
But in this, it actually looks like it doesn't look so bad. Like, it looks like, you know, a makeup artist was competent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited for the movie. I'm really excited to see, a really good Captain America movie.
I think we're supposed to be getting, a full trailer this week, the end of this week, too. So the thing I think they said, this week or, last week or this week, we're supposed to have, a good big trailer. I think it's probably going to be for, Battle LA or something. So hopefully look forward to that next week podcast when we talk about that. And check the site when that comes up. So, next bit of news, Quentin Tarantino possibly directing a spaghetti western as one of his next projects. So apparently he's been working on this script that he finished for this spaghetti western. He wants to set it pre-Civil War so he can, tackle slavery in it.
Jesus.
Any thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, I think he shouldn't fucking make it because it's going to be terrible.
Agreed.
Quentin Tarantino has lost his luster.
You know, Glorious Bastards?
And Glorious Bastards was cool, don't get me wrong, but now he's just going to make, period pieces? What the fuck?
Well, I think it's, period pieces, but with, little bits of other things in it.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what if Pulp Fiction took place in the Wild West? I got nothing, guys. I got nothing. Except a big bag of coke and an ego the size of Kentucky.
He's already had, a little bit, Western influences and, there's just, definitely Western influences and, Inglourious Basterds and stuff. And I think it'd be kind of cool if he did, a Western.
It's a lot of, we gotta see how he does it by the trailers to gauge how well it is. Because he hasn't really made a shitty movie. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make movies that reach our standard anymore. Which, that's just us as he's evolving as a director. But, we don't know if he can, pull it off. A real good Western that isn't, what Joe said, Pulp Fiction in, mm-hmm. The 18th century.
Yeah, I don't know how, his dialogue would work in, a Western.
Maybe. Maybe it was True Grit mixed with, Tarantino dialogue banter.
Yeah. So, other, developing movie properties. Alcon Entertainment, which is the studio that brought us such things as Book of Eli, is trying to secure the rights for the Blade Runner series. And then they want to make either sequels or prequels based on Blade Runner. So, any thoughts on that, Chris?
It's kind of weird to see how them try to watch the milk of franchise now, this late. Because, again, only a handful of people, too, are into, sci-fi, hardcore sci-fi. People have actually, appreciate sci-fi things, mm-hmm. would know what Blade Runner is.
Oh, I think you're underestimating the Blade Runner reach, mm-hmm. Chris. I think there's tons and tons. People think, Blade Runner is, the greatest movie ever made.
Right, okay. But let's just say, now, but I'm saying for, a new generation, too. A new generation of movie viewers.
Well, they've had, they've had a different cut every 10 years or so,
I don't know, man. I find that I feel that younger people, a younger generation, younger than us, man, they're not gonna appreciate, or they're not gonna appreciate why we don't like having a new Blade Runner. It's kind of like 30 years from now, they make another fucking like Star Wars Clone Wars thing.
Yeah, well, it'll be like they do like a prequel to Blade Runner. It's gonna be like Phantom, it's probably gonna have like Phantom Menace syndrome.
That's another thing too. Yeah, it's like
the replicants are made with midichlorians.
Replicants are actually made out of magnets and stuff. I like the mystery. Now, I like not really knowing and let that interpretation. But the moment they explain so much, it's like it's ruined now. Like, thank you for spoiling it.
Like they show, like I know people were like saying like never show like the attack ships. Like, you know that famous like monologue where he's like, I saw the attack ships of Orion or whatever.
Exploding and the dust. And that's cool. Maybe they could show, like, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I think it'd be cool as a comic to read.
I think they're actually doing, like, a prequel. Like, I think IEW or something is doing, like, a prequel to, like, the short story. So it's like, do androids dream of electric sleep sheep, but, like, a prequel to that or something? Not Blade Runner specifically, but, like, the short story. I think I've heard mixed things about it.
Well, see, that's a mixed thing. I'm on the fence until I see something else. Something other tells me otherwise, you know, like something convincing, like a synopsis. Like
concept art or something, or who gets cast in it, or...
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. I mean casting sometimes.
I'm not, like, too invested in it, because I like Blade Runner, but it's not, like, I'm not, like... super fanatical about it or anything.
That's true. It's like, I don't bring it up every commentary.
It's like, Blade Runner is a second coming.
No other movie can live to Blade Runner standard.
Mm-hmm. I have the briefcase set that had like 10 DVDs.
Sometimes for fun, I like to make unicorns with paper.
So, last bit of news before we get to the newest roundup for the week is Devil May Cry in the works to be a movie. So it's coming. Screen Gems, the company that brought us the Resident Evil movies, is actually trying to work on a Devil May Cry movie. And Kyle Ward, the screenwriter behind the Ken Lynch movie that's probably never going to come out, but is supposed to do the script for this one. So what do you think? You're a video game person, Chris. What do you think of this?
A Devil May Cry movie could work because their games have stopped being really good games and start becoming cinematic trailers. I mean, the cinematic parts. Is
yeah.
Like, I played Devil May Cry 4, and it was like all these really cool shit was going on in cutscenes I wish like I could do in the game, but the game didn't let me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I actually don't mind. Dante, the character, is really... a cool guy, like cool concept. He's like cocky, like immortal, like devil hunter, demon guy, with some real tragedies about him that the new Devil May Cry game might flush out because they might go in the past and explain a few things. Like they won't. It's weird because Devil May Cry 1 came out and it was like this like mid-res story of Dante. Devil May Cry 2 came out, and it was the future, like 10 years later or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Devil May Cry 3 came out, and it's like the prequel to Devil May Cry 1. Then Devil May Cry 4 came out, and it's the prequel to Devil May Cry 2.
It's so crazy.
And so I'm just like, oh, they cannot tell a cohesive story. So if they can make a movie and kind of like organize it to be like sane, then yeah, I'd be fine with it. There was a Devil May Cry TV show that was released, maybe like 13 episodes or something like that.
Maybe like an anime or something?
Yeah, it was an anime, mm-hmm. And it took them a year and a half for it to bring it over to America, but by then I've already watched most of them. And they're okay. Like, they're little stories, little nods to things you might have noticed in the games, but any gaming movie coming out is always like, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. I don't expect the perfect adaptation, or even like... the right concepts, because like I really have my hopes on Resident Evil as a kid, and that turned out to be completely wrong. But it still made money, mm-hmm. So they still made like what, three sequels?
And another one on the way.
All right, so just... I like Double... And they actually, like, are based on characters from the game and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it, Regenerations?
Oh, yeah. Or, like, Degeneration, whatever the hell it was.
Degeneration. That was a really good movie. The fact that it wasn't, like...
The one with the airplane,
overly,
right?
Yeah, it wasn't, like... It didn't verge off the script or anything. It was, like, this nice little story that...
It was, like, the prequel to, like, the Resident Evil 5 game.
No, prequel to the Resident Evil 4 game.
I thought it was post-Resident Evil 4.
It was?
Because there, like, there was, like, it was, like, Pharmatech stuff going on in it and stuff.
Huh. I thought it was...
And, like,
wow,
and, like,
it doesn't
Leon
really matter.
Was,
like,
Leon
that's...
was still, like, a... He was, like, a special agent or something still.
Huh.
So.
Okay. Well...
Do you have any ideas, like, who should, like... If you could pick, like, who would play Dante, do you have any ideas for that?
There's really a limited list, I think, because I really don't want anyone famous to be in a movie. It's not like I want Johnny Depp as Dante. Like, no.
Then you need, like, a
very action-packed, like, thin, not, like, overly thin, but just, like, a very lean guy. You can't have, like, a really muscular dude be Dante, because it wouldn't make sense in the game.
You're, like, Rain... Korean pop sensation Rain.
He could do it, but he can't talk.
Yeah.
Do not make Rain talk.
Unless
it sounds
you, like
a horrible...
Dub him. You'd, like, dub him or something.
No, it's fine having, like... As technically he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be the guy. So, I don't... For the commercials in Japan, white guy, like, a very... Who works for Capcom, who did the roles and did some of the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things in the game, like the cutscenes were filmed using, like, you know, the people dressed up using motion capture sensor technology to, like, do it. And, you know, it's cool how they did that. Like, it was cool how they captured all these really funky moves and just really cool stunts. But if they did a movie and they completely Resident Evil it, like, I will just be pissed because, like, that's wrong. Because it's not hard to make a Devil May Cry movie. You know, it's just get a dude who's really... like, aerobatic, and give him a fucking, like, wire team.
We need someone who can, like, drop one-liners awesome, too.
Yeah, one-liners, crazy, like, flips off the walls and doing extreme things to open doors. And, like, that's the thing, you don't... Even the games, if you think... They're more about gameplay than they are about, like, scenery and, like, sound, because I hate the soundtrack to The Devil May Cry. It's the same four songs in three or four games.
Like J-Metal?
It's not even J-Metal. It's this one generic song they keep playing from Devil May Cry 3 and 4. It's, like, always the battle theme. And I hate it, because I get sick of it, because Devil May Cry is a long replay game. Like, there's a lot of replay value, but, like, I turn off the music, because I just can't stand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's a bad game, just I hate the music. For it, again, like, if it's a movie, it better be, like... well thought out. It better be, like, almost like a kung fu movie, you know?
Yeah, maybe, like, over the top. Like, like, I don't know, like, I don't know, Kung Fu Hustle or something, or, like, Crank or something, like, someone's, like, shoot him up or something, like, some, like, insane level.
Yeah, some extreme, like, I'm trying to think of a movie that, like, you see all these crazy stunts and, like, guy fights a giant monster. Ninja Assassin, I would say, was kind of that. It was like,
yeah.
You know, there should be that much plot.
The movie's horrible, but...
Action, action, action. Yeah, horrible movie, but kind of okay stunt scenes, you know?
Mm.
If anything, that movie just barely had that.
Like Tony Jaa.
No, Tony Jaa movies are weird as hell. They're always about elephants. They're always about him being new to some city.
Mm-hmm. They just, like, beat people in the face with his elbows.
Yeah, like, that Tony Jaa's a guy that, like, you just should not mess with. He'll just fly at you with a rising knee to your head.
Yeah, so, who knows when that's coming out, but apparently it's on the way. So why don't we get to New Year's Roundup, then we'll finish up the podcast. So a bunch of good stuff coming out this week. Probably the most probably the best thing coming out this week is Walking Dead Season 1. I think we all agreed that was amazing.
Yep.
So definitely check that out if you haven't seen the show. Which, if you didn't see the show, are you living under a rock or something? Like that guy.
Do you not have, like, TV?
It's like the guy who, what are you even, living under a rock? And then also coming out is Inside Job, which won the Best Documentary Oscar couple weeks ago. It's all about, like, Wall Street and the financial crisis and stuff like that. Next 3 days is out this week, the Russell Crowe movie that no one saw this last year. Where it's like,
I heard about it, but the next 3 days later I decided not to.
His like wife goes to jail for like murder or something, and he has to like break her out with help from Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
It's like, I think like Liam Neeson like trains him to like break his wife out of jail or something.
He trains him how to like get out of one of the most like weird jail things or something, and then he's like, all right, then he's gonna run across the country.
Yep.
And then they go to Mexico.
So another forgotten fall movie, Morning Glory, also known as like What Are You Doing, Harrison Ford?
Wait, which movie?
The one with Morning Glory, like Rachel McAdams and like Harrison Ford, like the talk, like the like it was like the romantic comedy version of Anchorman.
Oh.
Then we have Mystery Science Theater Volume 20 is out this week. And that has The Magic Voyage of Sinbad, Master Ninja 1 and 2, and Project Moonbase. And those are all Joel episodes. And apparently, like, the Master Ninja ones are, like, some of, like, the fan... they get constantly listed, like, top 5 best Mr. Science Theater episodes. Because apparently it was, like, some horrible, like, 80s martial arts show starring Lee Van Cleef. That they just, like, horribly edited, like, movies. So, yeah, definitely check that out. And, Jackass 3 is out this week. And you actually get, like, a version that has, like, horrible, like, the horrible red and blue 3D glasses with it. And I think, yeah, Jackass 3 is, like, definitely fun. Like, if you like Jackass, you're going to love this. What'd you say, Chris?
Huh?
I was just saying, like, if you love Jackass, you'll love Jackass 3, pretty much.
I don't know, because it seemed like, if without the 3D effects, like, it's just a plain episode of Jackass.
Yeah.
That's uncensored. But with the 3D, it's a whole new, like, ha ha ha, we're all laughing at the stream because this is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like Jackass. You know, like, it makes me cringe at certain scenes, but...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's some great bits in this one, like the jet engine.
Yeah, that part was pretty funny. They start launching stuff.
Yeah.
Into each other through, like, the jet engine.
It's like the football, they throw a football into the wake of the jet engine, just, like, vanishes.
You know, it makes this weird whoosh sound.
It's like,
it's the first thing they throw into, and they just were like, fuck. Because then the guy's gonna get hit by, like, a football, and he's like, oh, no.
They start throwing, like, shoes into it and stuff, yeah. Yeah.
I do like how they set up the, what's that, like, sound thing where, like, the guy sits in a chair and he turns up the volume and it's, like, moving everything around him? It's really famous from, like, the late 90s or early, mid-90s.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's unrated, so I'm sure there's, like, more disgusting stuff going on in that, too. And then a couple more things coming out this week. Daniel Tosh, Happy Thoughts, which is Daniel Tosh's latest stand-up special. Actually premiered, last Sunday on Comedy Central. I saw parts of it, and pretty much, if you're a fan of, like, Tosh.0 and stuff, it's pretty much Tosh.0 without videos.
Yeah, it's weird. To see him without, like, laughing about YouTube clips.
Yeah, it's like, like the monologues he does, but like before like the Web Redemptions, where he just like goes off on like a topic, like rap or something. Like it's pretty much like the whole stand-up special. But it's funny.
Yeah, he's a funny comedian. Mm-hmm.
Touchpoint is great. And then on Blu-ray this week, we have Excalibur, which is the crazy, like, 80s King Arthur movie. I think it's like a cult favorite. It's got Liam Neeson and Patrick Stewart in it.
Wait, they've been in a movie together?
Yeah. And it's called Excalibur. Oh. And then Exit to the Gift Shop is on Blu-ray this week, which is another Oscar-nominated documentary. Yep, so that's it for News Roundup. That's it for the show this week. I know Chris has got stuff to do. We're like, it's a busy week for everyone, so we're just going to like cut out the special feature for the week and just call it here. So if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Everything Action and joining our group, which you can get see all the news stories that pop up on the site, leave links of your own, comment on the stories, chat with us, a whole bunch of stuff. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/EVAction. Joe runs that. He reblogs a bunch of news stories, leaves comments, live blogs, movies. It's lots of fun. Definitely follow EVAction on EVAction on Twitter. And you can find us on iTunes by going to the iTunes Music Store, searching for Everything Action, and you can subscribe to the podcast, leave comments, rate us, and also on there is our app you can download, which it's free, and gives you the last 20 news stories, and you can also listen to the podcast in there. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Joe and Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.